Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When banking starts to feel less personal, you know where to find us. Community Bank. Deep roots. Local people. Personal banking. Visit communitybank.net. Member FDIC.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Kelly and Dima, glad you're with us. Great show today. Travis Heeg is in the building. He's the director of the wonderful Pride Marching Band. Rachel Eaton is the drum major. They're going to be on the show here in just a few minutes. We're going to hear from Major Applewhite, who's the head baseball coach, the head football coach, I should say, at the University of South Alabama. And first, though, as we head into the first segment, I want to remind you that it's always sponsored by our wonderful friends out at Movie Star Restaurant. That's where you find the best buffet. 6 days a week, Southern cooking for 25 years. They've got great new merchandise, too. A lot of cool T-shirts as well. So a lot of reasons to go to Movie Star. Numero uno, of course, is the food. So we appreciate all they do. All right, as we head into the show, some breaking, and I got to say, guys, some good baseball news. And I know 2 days in a row we've talked about baseball in August, but they keep making us. They keep making us.
Actually, I think it's about 97 straight days.
Maybe. Well, the announcement comes out that Mississippi State and Southern Miss are going to play a baseball game in October. Auburn is involved. Lay out the details, Dima.
Yeah, it's the fall classic or whatever you want to call it at in the Biloxi Shuckers ballpark, and Southern Miss playing Mississippi State, which is awesome for the state. I mean, talk about a really cool matchup for you to go down there. I looked at the calendar, and that's the same weekend as Cruising on the Coast. So
now that's insane.
That's crazy. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work as far as wow. If you're going to that baseball game, you better show up about 9 a.m.
Have you ever driven in Biloxi during
Christmas? Yes, I have. Coast? And yeah. It's hard to drive because there's so much traffic. But, that's going to be really big for the city of Biloxi as far as, you know, go look at some cars, then head to see a great Southern Miss baseball, you know, a baseball game, a college baseball game of two top 15 teams. So, that was really cool to see. And then Auburn is also playing State the Friday before. So State's playing two games and Southern Miss is just one of those games. Okay. So really cool. And this is the first time since I've covered the team. And Bob, you said they have before, but this is the first time.
One time, I think, McNeese State. They okay. may have played a spring game with me.
Well, I've covered them since 21, and they have never done a fall game. And yeah. I've always said a fall game would be really cool. So this is I'm really excited about this. And also important to note that Southern Miss football does not play that day. So there's not any obligation for you to get back to the Rock or something like that.
Well, I want to say this, and forgive me for not knowing the gentleman's name or not remembering his name, I should say, the new baseball coach at Mississippi State. He's been nothing but open about wanting to play Southern Miss since he took over the reins there. And I got to tell you guys, Ron Polk said it, Kelly, years ago, it's good for baseball when these three schools play each other.
I drew a blank there as well, but Brian O'Connor, right?
But you would agree, I guess. You know, he's been really open about it, and you would agree it's good, right?
Any time that the big three, so to speak, can play each other, when that other school in Oxford, they're the only ones, and they'll play in baseball.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State has even played Southern in football and basketball. It's just Ole Miss. Yeah. Doesn't do that for whatever
reason. I think that's going to be a great fall weekend for fans from both State and Ole Miss.
Yeah, and it's a Tuesday night football game that week at Troy.
I can't help but think that this is going to slowly begin a new trend of college baseball's way to raise money for whether it's assistant coach salaries or just with budgets getting tighter and tighter, NIL, all these other sorts of things that you have to maximize every ability you can to bring in a few dollars. There's got to be some sort of arrangement between the schools, the Shuckers, that this is what it's about. But I can't help but think that this is maybe the future.
You know, I asked Coach Oz about that earlier this past season because I knew the NCAA had allowed that. And he told me that they were still allowing it. They just hadn't done it in the last few years, but apparently they were working on this. And I just think this is just a great treat. I mean, it's like an added treat for Southern Miss and Mississippi State baseball fans.
Yeah, you already see how many people get to the Fall World Series when they do that, you know, at the Pete. And why not, you know, make it a weekend Saturday thing, a 2 p.m. pitch on an October day? You know, that should be a beautiful day, hopefully.
And since we were talking about raising money.
Yeah.
Southern Miss might need to be starting to raise some more money because Troy and Coastal Carolina in the last 24 to 48 hours have made very serious financial obligations to their baseball programs, Dema Mixon.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina announced that head coach Chris Lemonis is signing a five-year contract worth $475,000 annually. And yesterday was also announced that Skylar Mead at Troy is now the highest paid head coach in the Sun Belt, which there's still not a number, and I was trying to communicate with my Troy guys to see exactly what that number is, but Kendall Rogers at D1 Baseball reported that his contract surpasses Lemonis's at $475,000. So if we compare that to Christian Ostrander's salary,
who is a proven commodity,
correct.
Lemonis isn't,
who's probably the most proven, not even probably, is the most proven baseball program in the Sun Belt, $350,000 annually, so almost $125,000 less a year than Chris Lemonis is making, and certainly probably $150,000, if not $160,000 less than what Mead is making. So they renegotiated his contract last season in 2025. I would expect this to happen again soon.
Need to.
Yeah.
Whatever you have to do to take care of Christian Ostrander,
absolutely,
you do. Lee Applewhite needs to get out and raise some money, sounds like, to make
it. And I don't think Ostrander's not the type of guy that's going to use this as leverage.
No, but
he deserves it.
Yeah, but he deserves it.
This is the cost, the ante has just gone up in this high-stakes game of baseball poker.
Yeah, I don't envision Ostrander going to Jeremy McClain pounding on his door saying, I need 100, you know, it's right. It's that he deserves to be paid. He deserves to be the highest paid coach in the Sun.
The market price.
Correct.
Everything else has gone up. Why not baseball coaching salaries?
We'll let you know if we hear any more about that. A little over three minutes left in the opening segment. Dema, I know you were at practice again this morning, and like to give these daily updates. Any breaking news out of ball practice?
Yeah, I mean, really the biggest news for anybody right now that they're just kind of looking for is Ethan Hampton's status. And still today, didn't see him doing a lot. He had a wrap on his thumb yesterday. He did throw the football a little bit. And then today, kind of the same as yesterday, it sounds like they're kind of holding him over until Saturday's scrimmage. On Saturday's scrimmage, which is Fan Fest, by the way, Anderson did give us a little bit of a clear picture of what that's going to look like. On last Saturday's scrimmage, it was a lot of 20 to 30, 30 to 20s, you know, open field stuff. He said Saturday's scrimmage is going to be almost all situational, third downs, red zone, because he said they just have to practice it because they just started red zone work yesterday in the red zone with 7-on-7, and then today they ran a little 11-on-11 in the red zone. But tomorrow's practice and Friday's practice are shorter walkthroughs to emulate a game week. So Saturday is going to be really the first time live they've even ran any red zone.
But it would not surprise me, though, just logically, that you wouldn't see Hampton Saturday. I don't think if you're looking at him as a potential starting quarterback, you can't risk injuring that finger any more than it already is. I'm not saying what Coach Anderson has planned. I'm just saying I would not be surprised if you didn't see Ethan Hampton this weekend. And if you do, hand off right, hand off left, kind of thing.
I mean, certainly. It's just the reps, right? I mean, that's just kind of the problem you run into with having an injury like this in fall camp. Is it's different if you have an injury like this in week six, where he's already, but he hasn't, I mean, just the reps that he hasn't had live is something that's, I think, at least a concern right now for them.
And then what the coaching staff has to decide is, whoever they decide is number two, is there that big a disparity between one and two that you don't name number two your starter for at least week one? You know, depending, of course, on how badly injured that thumb is, two on Hampton. So there's a lot of Mickey Mouse, not Mickey Mouse, but
cat and mouse.
Yes. Thank you. As to what you're doing with your starting quarterback situation, because you if Hampton is your number one guy, you do not want to do anything to risk further injury.
Less than 2 weeks away, it's hard to believe, huh?
Actually, the rest of college football begins next week.
Week zero.
Zero week.
Yeah, week zero.
Did I see on a billboard they're actually going to play high school football in this heat this weekend?
Well, yes. All the jamborees are tomorrow night,
which are not full timed games. They are shorter,
glorified scrimmages almost.
But it's not going to be much cooler next week either, folks.
No, I did hear a cool spell's coming in, Kelly, just for opening a football season. Going to be down in the 50s, very breezy.
Oh
very
yeah, wow.
I'm sure of that.
I believe that as much as a remote pay.
Yeah. Wow, Dima Mixon getting political. I love it.
Hey, as we head to the break, Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun this time of the year, but you are always the most important player. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health will help you with expert medical care closer to home. Said it yesterday. I want to say it again. I want to thank the CEO of Forest Health and all the ladies in the marketing department. We just finalized a new renewal deal with them. They're going to be with us for the next year. We're very, very grateful for that.
And do you remember Jeff Cook is who you're talking about?
Absolutely.
When he was playing outfield for Southern Miss, do you remember what his nickname was?
No, what's that?
The Cookie Monster.
He was a dog wasn't he?
Out of North Forest High School, baby.
He was a dog.
Yeah.
Super Talk Eagle Hour. Travis Hegan, who is the director of the Magnificent Pride, and Rachel Eaton, drum major, they're next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Second segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Eagle Tire West. Southern Miss baseball player Matt Warren runs the place down there. And not only do they feature Goodyear tires, but tires of any kind. Air conditioning work, really important this time of year. The family has been in the business since 1985, and Eagle Tire West opened now on Highway 98 for full service, both cars and trucks, right next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98, and big Southern Miss supporters. Well, just as exciting about the football season is all the support personnel that make a football game an experience. And, of course, the pride of Mississippi, known across the South for the great work that they do. Joining us now here in our Southern Bancorp studios is the director of the Pride of Mississippi, Travis Hegan, now in his eighth year.
8 whole years.
And we know that your folks in Hawaii are good.
Yes, they're right? Great. They're great right now. And actually, they're visiting me in Mississippi right now.
Okay, so they avoided all the rain.
Every single time they're here.
And they avoided your tidal wave when you were down there.
Yes, the tidal wave that I created by jumping in the ocean.
The tidal wave that he always creates when he jumps in any kind of liquid of water.
But luckily, nobody got hurt, right? So we're going to talk with the drum major for this year's team, a senior from Oak Grove. Rachel's going to join us here in a minute. But, Travis, let's talk about the show, first of all. When you decided to put it together, what went into the final decision as to what's in and what's out?
Absolutely. So the first thing that we always do is work with our leadership. Our students probably have the best temperature of what they want to be playing and also are a little bit more relevant than me sometimes. Shocker, right?
So you're saying you don't know who Dua Lipa is either?
I don't. But I do love Dua Lipa.
Okay. You're younger than I am, though, so go ahead.
But we like to use our leadership to come up with some ideas, and they were fantastic this year in being super helpful to find our shows. And in working these shows out, we also saw that athletics posted their teams for each game, and we try to work collaboratively with them on that. And so we have some rock shows. The Rock turns 100 years old this year, so celebrating The Rock. We have a kids takeover game, which is going to be really fun, even at halftime. And then, of course, celebrating our seniors at the very end of the season. It's always a great way to wrap up the year.
You also bring high schoolers in from all over, too, right?
As, we do.
As part of that's usually right around homecoming, maybe?
It is. It's going to be September 19th this year whenever we take on UConn,
okay.
The Huskies. And usually we have about 300 to 350 high school students that join us on the field for halftime. We want to get them a little bit more involved this year, so I hope they all come and sign up to march with the pride. And then also we're also going to have an additional part of that where they get to work with our faculty as well during that game.
Now we're going to talk to Rachel Upton, who is the drum major, in just a second, but I want to ask you, Travis, before we get you out of here, Pride Preview is a week from Friday, so that's 9 days away. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what can't do anything about the heat, but tell us what people can expect and how people can participate.
Absolutely. So Pride Preview will be on Friday, August 28th at Southern Station. It will start at 6 p.m. From what we've been noticing, at around 6 p.m., the clouds come in, and we should have some good cloud cover, so I hope that continues. But come out, bring your lawn chairs. Get a sneak peek of what game day atmosphere will sound like and look like with the Pride of Mississippi.
Now, Rachel, one of the things that's unique, I think, about the Pride is that with each different weekend, if you don't get to that game, you're going to miss a completely unique show that the Pride puts together. If there's six home games, then there's going to be six different shows. Kind of fill in some blanks for us on that, about how you guys are able to do that, first of all.
Yeah, so we start rehearsing each show pretty early. Right now we're working on our first halftime show and getting that put together. I think pretty soon we're going to start on our second one, and school hasn't even started. So yeah. There's definitely a lot of quick turnaround, and we're definitely testing how much the Pride can retain just because of how quick-paced it is. So we put in a lot of really hard work to get the show as prepared and clean for y'all on game day as possible.
Now, you're a graduate of Oak Grove High School, right up the road here, yep. And the Oak Grove Band has been all Superior for as long as I can remember.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So tell us about the job of drum major, how you were able to get one of those, because there's more than one, right? So how were you able to land one of those? And I'm guessing you were a drum major at Oak Grove. Kind
yes.
of tell us about your band career.
Yeah, so I was a drum major in high school for about 3 years, so I had a good amount of experience before coming in. And then when I got to the Pride, there's a pretty hefty audition process. It starts with an interview, just to check your leadership skills, kind of get the feel for those. We do a pregame demonstration, which if you haven't seen Pride of Mississippi pregame, you should definitely go watch it. It's a pretty cool show. We do a teaching demonstration because we are pretty involved in teaching the Pride in this preseason. And then they also test our football knowledge.
So really?
Oh, yeah. There's a pretty good amount of things to be ready and prepared for coming into auditioning for a drum major position.
Now, what band instrument did you play when you were one of the common folk, so to speak?
I'm a clarinet player.
You are? Okay. And then what made you decide you wanted to go try the drum major route?
Well,
back to high school, of course.
Oh, yeah. So when I was a little baby freshman in high school, the people who really inspired me were my drum majors who led me. And if it wasn't for them saying, hey, you should come try out for this position, I don't know if I would have. And then when I got, even before I got to USM, I knew that was something that I wanted to continue doing just because I loved my experience in high school so much.
Is music education in your future, Rachel, if it was up to you?
Yeah, I'm actually a music education major.
Okay.
I'm about to student teach next semester, fingers crossed. so being a drum major is definitely was a driving force for my career decision.
Can you guys give us some sneak peeks of what fans might hear?
I'm guessing there's not going to be any Pink Floyd.
Not this year, no.
Ella Langley, is she going to make an appearance?
Or? Not this year.
Oh, man.
I know.
any other sneak peeks you could give us? Or?
We, coming up in our space show, I believe that's in November. Right. We're playing some, if you've ever seen Project Hail Mary, we're playing some of the soundtrack from that. And then what else are we playing?
I'm guessing Star Wars has got to be in there somewhere, no?
We don't have Star Wars because that copyrights are very expensive.
Oh, okay.
But we are going to play a little bit of some tunes from, Space Jam.
Okay. Oh, yay.
You're going to hear some sounds from the Space Odyssey soundtrack. So it'll be a very good space theme. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff, so we know that that's going to be a night game that we can celebrate.
Are there some pieces of music, Travis, that just do not that get lost in translation when it comes to marching band music?
You know, oddly enough, a lot of pop music right now is tough because it's a lot of speech texting, or, you know, like there's on the same syllable, on the same note. So sometimes it doesn't translate well to marching band, but especially some of like the old rock tunes, they're very tuneful. So that translates really well to marching band.
I will say there are times that when you guys do, you know, the halftime shows, I'm almost insanely impressed how you can, you know, get a. I know last year I think y'all did Bohemian Rhapsody one of the shows,
maybe a few years ago.
One of the shows. I just remember that one was just so amazing that y'all were able to do that on a marching band, just because the song itself is just the elements of it are, you know, you would think is a lot more on the boards and with Freddie Mercury's voice and stuff like that, but you guys were able to adapt it to marching band, and you guys do that with all these other songs. So what goes into that, you know, and how cool is it when the whole piece finally comes together?
Yeah, it's an art form, actually. Yeah. And actually, Dr. Edgerton, Cody Edgerton, who is the assistant director of bands with the Pride, he is a master at it. He and the Pride has surrounded itself with great arrangers who advise me at times, like, hey, this song is going to work really well, or hey, this is not going to work really well. Do you want to reconsider this? And because of that relationship that we have with a bunch of folks and a lot of talent, even with our staff, we're able to make those songs happen on the field for y'all.
And to show you what a rock star Cody Edgerton is, he has been on this very program. Mm-hmm. We have had more than once, right? So we only get the top-notch people here. Now, Rachel, I got to ask you, I've heard from some of the Dixie Darlings at times that on the field, on the turf, of course, you guys are up on your ladders usually, right?
Yep.
But we've heard from some of the Dixie Darlings, that it gets so hot on the turf that sometimes their rubber-soled boots will melt or at least soften significantly because the turf is so hot.
On Pride Field when y'all are rehearsing, you know, up until the first game too.
Yeah, it gets very, very, very hot on Pride Field. I personally have never had the soles of my shoes melt off, but I would not be surprised if there were some DD boot, you know, crumbs on the field.
When did you start pulling everybody together, Travis? When did everybody start coming back to campus?
We started coming back to campus, I think last week, Thursday, is when our leadership came back. Starting on Saturday, we had our new members return, about just under shy of 100 new members joining the Pride this year. And then we had the full band back together starting on Sunday, starting to learn all we're doing. And we got, so far, we've learned a bunch of our stand tunes, our first halftime show, our pregame. We're going to work on Eagle Walk tonight. So we've learned a whole lot, even with the first 3 days.
Well, you see, there's a lot more than just the football players that are getting ready for the season and putting in every bit as much of hard work. And we're going to feature the cheerleaders and everybody else, the Dixie Darlings, everybody associated with giving you the complete football experience. Travis Hegan, now in his 8th year as the director of the Pride. Travis, thank you. And congratulations, Rachel, on being one of the drum majors for Southern Miss. We enjoy your work.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having us.
And we do understand that it is work. When we come back, our Sun Belt football previews continue with a look at the South Alabama Jaguars. Coach Major Applewhite on the program, and we return in just a moment.
Southern Miss to the top.
Time for the Super Talk Eagle Hour 2026 Sun Belt Football Countdown, sponsored by Hancock Whitney Bank.
At Hancock Whitney, we know strong communities are built through teamwork, dedication, and tradition, the same values that define Southern Miss athletics. I'm Daniel Stewart, business banker at Hancock Whitney. We're proud to support Eagle Hour and the student athletes, alumni, and fans who make Golden Eagle Nation so special. Whether you're buying a home, growing your business, planning for retirement, or simply looking for a trusted financial partner, our team is here to help you every step of the way. Hancock Whitney, your dream, our mission. Proud to support Southern Miss. To the top.
We're not plugged in.
Well, we'll get it. I had a chance to talk with Major Applewhite, the head football coach at South Alabama at Media Days in New Orleans. And, you know, when you look at the West, South Alabama, Southern Miss, and Louisiana Monroe are kind of the teams that everybody's kind of looking past. And Major Applewhite is really not sure as to why. Here's what he had to say about that and about the Jaguars this season.
Coach, you're in your third year with the let me start again.
Okay.
It's been a long couple of days. Major Applewhite coming in 3-2-1. Coaching your third year with the Jags now. Let's start talking about on the offensive side of the ball. Running back room is pretty good. Tell us about Keenan Phillips and some of the other guys that you're counting on.
Yeah, both Keenan, PJ, Trevion, Levante, Caleb, all those guys, Julian, have done a great job this spring. You know, looking forward to seeing Keenan and PJ played the most last year, so looking forward to seeing how those guys play out through fall camp.
Bishop Davenport and some of those guys, 12 touchdowns, 68% pass completion, that's pretty doggone good.
The completion percentage is good, but we've got to continue to grow our passing game and become more explosive.
All right. On the offensive line, and I think this is kind of a common thread with everybody, just got some good guys there, just need some reps.
Yeah, we got some good players up front. Most everybody on our offensive line played in some respect last year, maybe not in the starting role, but got some reps. But I feel good about the group up front. Some of their experience level, like a little bit more experience, but good players and guys that have played some college snaps.
What are the expectations for Anthony Higgins this year?
Score every time he touches the ball. No.
That'd be nice.
He's spent the last couple of years behind some good slots, guys like Jamal Pritchett and Colin Lacey, where he's learned the offense, he knows what to do, and he's performed when he's been asked to perform. I think this is going to be finally his first year where he gets the majority of those snaps and really plays that slot position primarily. But his great speed, his good hands, this is going to be an opportunity for him this season.
Defensively now, I know the pass rush was a problem last year. So how do you try to tackle that, so to speak, this year?
It starts with who's rushing the passer. It starts with how you get off the ball. It starts with just a mentality and a philosophy of who you want to affect. Do you want to cover people, or do you want to affect the quarterback, or try to do both? Number one, just trying to establish who are our rushers, who works well in their games together. Who do we want dropping? Who do we want going after the quarterback? Because I feel in this league, I think there's good quarterbacks in this league, but if there's really good quarterbacks in this league, somebody goes and buys them for $2, $3, and $4 million. So I'd like to go and see if we can hit these quarterbacks.
I like that answer. Talking to your colleagues about your team, they think that your linebacking core, barring injuries, of course, but that's the same with anybody, that your linebacking core is probably pretty good.
It can be. There's not a lot of experience there. We've had guys like Darius McKenzie and Blaine Myrick, who really took the majority of the snaps for the last 2 years. Both of those guys are gone. Dalton Hughes moved on for his last year of eligibility at Tulane. So really, guys like Caleb Dozier, guys like Parker Shattuck, Jordan Williams, good players, just young, haven't had the opportunity to play a tremendous amount of ball. Caleb was playing a lot for us before midseason when he got a Liz Frank injury, so we'll see how he comes back from that.
You were talking about the portal. You guys even lost a kicker.
Yeah, we coming out of the 24 season, at the bowl game, we had 18 of the 22 starters coming back. And then 2 weeks after the bowl game, six left, so we went 12 of the 24. And then in the May portal, another six starters left, so then we went to, six of 24. So we went from having essentially, two-thirds of your team returning to less than a third of your team returning.
And the secondary got hit really hard, too, in the portal. Some of your best guys in the...
Yeah, we lost. When May rolls around and 90 days before the season, I don't care what football team you are, if they say you're starting quarterback, you're starting right tackle, you're starting outside linebacker, you're starting defensive end, and both starting corners are gone, then you're not going to be as good a football team in 90 days. I don't care if it's Oak Grove High School, if it's the Dallas Cowboys. If somebody tells you you're starting tackle, starting quarterback, it's two starting corners, you're starting outside linebacker, and starting D tackle are gone, and you got 90 days to find them and fix it. There's going to be some struggles. And, you know, thank God there's no more spring portal window, but that's what we ran into a little bit of last year.
Love the reference to Oak Grove.
Yeah.
right down the road from the station.
I had a grandmother who lived in Purvis, so I know Hattiesburg, I know Hattiesburg fairly well.
Well, let's talk about Deuce Vance and Damarian Darby, then, a couple of guys that are Hattiesburg and Bassfield. Well, Bassfield's been a football machine for years.
Yeah, some good players out of there.
Yeah. So you guys obviously are active in that recruiting those areas.
Absolutely. No, I think Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama are three of the most under-recruited states in the country. It's easy to fly into Houston. It's easy to fly into Atlanta. It's easy to fly into Orlando and Miami. It's hard to fly into Jackson. It's hard to fly into Birmingham. It's hard to fly into Baton Rouge. New Orleans gets the most love because coaches like to go there and get hotel rooms and recruit. But there are tremendous ball players in North Louisiana, the state of Mississippi in general, state of Alabama. I think those kids come from great communities, good programs. They don't have all the bells and whistles of a Georgia high school or a Texas high school, but the roots are there. The kind of communities that you want to get kids out of, hardworking communities, honest people. Not a bunch of fast-paced city life that'll get a kid all confused when he gets on your campus. I love recruiting that area.
There you go. Coach Major Applewhite of South Alabama. A couple things that stuck out to me in that interview. You could tell the frustration of when he said, you know, after the season is over, you've got 18 of your 24 starters back, and then in the next couple of days, six guys leave, announce they're going to the transfer portal, and then two or three weeks later, six more guys say they're leaving, and then when the spring portal window opens up, you lose another. So you have no idea. And like you said, if you have a quarterback, when everybody talks about, well, you got to have a good quarterback. Well, of course, but like he referenced, if you have a quarterback that's worth anything, some other school is going to come and buy him for $3 or $4 million, which my alma mater of Iowa State, that's exactly what they did with Jalen Rayner at Arkansas State last year. Mm-hmm. So you could tell, Bob, he was frustrated with the whole situation.
Well, you can understand that. What impressed me is that you were so into the interview, you did the countdown twice.
Yes. Yeah, that's so, and we do that on purpose so that you can see that we're not perfect. We make mistakes, but you can kind of.
You know I'm going to let that go, dude.
Kind of say, well, that's okay. I'm human. I make mistakes. I think that was about the 18th interview I'd done that day.
I think you did a lot.
They said, Dima, take out the countdown at the beginning of Kelly's interview. I said, all right, I took it out, and then we played it.
You didn't know there was a second one.
We didn't know it was a dual countdown.
I couldn't come up with Jaguars. I was trying to say Jaguars. But, you know, the other point that I wanted to make is, you know how he talked about really recruiting Mississippi so heavily?
Right.
And when you talk about Southern Miss being back to the good old days, one of the reasons that's going to be more difficult is what happened between then and now with South Alabama football arrived and was put on the map. And so it used to be where Southern Miss could go into the panhandle of Florida, could go into Dothan and get a lot of these 100%. Players that South Alabama is getting now.
Southern Miss made its living for years doing that.
Yes.
You add to UAB.
Right.
Troy, South Alabama. It changed the landscape of recruiting for schools like Southern Miss. Maybe it didn't affect the SEC schools, but it affected the smaller schools' recruiting map. And I never did think that people quite took that into account when they started criticizing Jeff Bauer in the last couple of years. He was dealing with a different landscape and was adjusting to that when all the turmoil came.
Because a lot of times with these high school kids, they want to stay as close to home as possible. Well, back in the day, South Alabama was just not a realistic option. But once they decided they were going to go full bore into football, that's exactly what they did. And the beautiful stadium down there. So it was just a tougher sell for Southern Miss with a lot more people competing for fewer and fewer players.
Now, I haven't been to their football stadium or basketball arena, but you and Dima tell me they have state-of-the-art facilities down there.
And there is not a bad seat at that stadium, no, Dima. Would you agree?
No, absolutely. And I've been to both baseball and basketball, if we're not even talking about football, and both of those obviously are nice. They have a covered practice area. Really like their facilities. The question of the hour, you know, is will Southern Miss finally beat them in football this year? 0-6 against the Jaguars.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, nobody when look at all the prognostications and standings, nobody really expects either team to be great. Let's hope that that record is snapped this year.
Absolutely, and that game is in Hattiesburg this year. When we come back...
Remaining news and notes.
Remaining news and notes, but also something that Bob isn't going to be too happy about. Uh-oh. You'll see what it is. Uh-oh.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Back on the Eagle Hour here in segment four, Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West. In Hattiesburg.
Boy, that was fast.
It was. It's like their cars. They drive so fast. So you had to, you know, speed through the ad read.
Nice.
You can find this weird show on podcasts, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri. All right, news and notes. We had a tweet for Bob Getty here, and I just wanted to hear his opinion on this. So, Bob, you're familiar with the Colorado ruling that brought back, you know, the 2022 senior class.
And why am I not going to like this?
Matt Zintz, who's a national college football writer for CBS Sports, this is a legitimate tweet, legitimate person. This is his tweet from about 2 hours ago. And I just want to hear your thoughts. With the 2022 recruiting class being granted another year of college eligibility, there are players who have signed NFL contracts who are now looking into filing lawsuits that would allow them to return to college and possibly even transfer.
And do you know why?
What does that mean? That you can now make more money playing college football than you can make as a rookie in the National
That's
Football
exactly
because people
what
are
means.
Taking pay cuts going to the NFL.
Is that not the most insane thing you've ever heard of your life?
Yes.
What do you think is a tougher sport to play?
Well, we'd have to talk to their representation.
Yeah, I guess so.
Their representation. So. But that's exactly what it means. Is it? And I remember, Dima, when Will Hall was the coach at Southern Miss, and we played at Florida State down there 1 year, the outcome was ugly. But who was the quarterback that was injured at Florida State? Jordan Travis. Yeah. Talking to him before the game, because I was at that game in person. I was reporting from down there for the Eagle Hour. And I said, because he had graduated, but he had another year of eligibility. So I said, what are you going to do next year? And I don't want to bring this company's name into it, but he said, well, I have a job offer on the table from such and such company starting at $60,000 a year, or I could come back and play quarterback at Florida State next year for $1.7 million. What do you think I should do?
Well, I mean, I just think it's turning the world upside down in college athletics. I mean, for years, the goal has been to be the best college player you can be, get an education, and take your shot at playing in the league. And now that's gone, too.
Well, when we go back to the Major Applewhite interview, and you could hear in his voice how sick and tired he is of coaching these guys up and then having somebody else come and steal his work. Not stealing, because they're paying very healthy sums of money, but it's like, what am I even doing here? Why do I even want to get these guys better? Because all they're going to do is leave. Now, the good news for him is that just about everybody else in the Sun Belt is paddling that same boat. Mm-hmm. But we wonder why a lot of these coaches, and Nick Saban really started it when he just said, now when Nick Saban, who loves the game probably more than anybody I've ever seen in the modern era of football, when he says this is bananas, I'm out of here.
And I'm glad Nick Saban said that, but I'm going to say something that I've seen fans from Ole Miss and State and other SEC schools say about Nick Saban talking so much, is that was easy for Nick Saban to say when for years Alabama notoriously paid players to play football at Alabama. Mm-hmm. So that is just a little bit, a little bit rich, I think.
He was scared that everybody else could do it now.
I think that's exactly correct, and they were catching up with him.
And that they can do it with higher numbers.
Yes.
As we mentioned yesterday.
Speaking of higher numbers or higher powers, if you will.
Higher what?
The higher powers that be. The soothsayer, all truth-telling, man is on his way.
Music? Come on, music.
Put your headphones on. Oh, she hasn't sung yet. But it's... that's Bob's favorite part, isn't it? Kelnack, the Magnificent, will be here the week of the first game.
Well, he's probably left.
Yeah.
Already. He's on the way. Because Campbell, you know, Hump don't move fast.
No, he sure doesn't.
He's got a long journey ahead of him.
He does. We'll eat that hay, and then, you know, what he does after he eats the hay.
Yes. Well, and Kelnack wanted to know if Hump is going to have any trouble with ice. Once he gets
I hope he has a green card.
Yeah.
I hope he didn't try to get in illegally. Yes. No, better. Don't try to come in legally. Yeah. That's when you have problems. Yeah.
If Trump shows up when Hump gets here, we'll have some issues.
Right, and Tom Holman. Tom Holman. We'll know it's bad. It's like, if we see Tom Holman in
Hump is a great camel. He's probably the best ever camel. You'll be here the week. It is so hard to believe, you guys, that football season is upon us.
Yeah, high school football starting tomorrow night with some jamborees and stuff like that, and then the season starts next Friday.
Right.
Unless a federal judge intervenes and issues an injunction.
Yes.
Well, a lot of schools have been affected by these temperatures.
You got to watch it now. It's mighty hot for these kids
and,
to be out there.
And see, the thing that I'm worried about is if you're following the rules and you're practicing indoors, you can't simulate real football games indoors. You just can't. All right, so here's the question I have to ask. If you can't simulate it and then you go out and try to play a game in it, aren't you putting kids at risk there of getting injured, which kind of defeats the whole...
They're like real short.
Yeah.
Yeah, scrimmage. Glorified scrimmages.
Yeah.
What, 20, 30 minutes, maybe?
Not even that long, I don't think.
Like five-minute quarters. Yeah. Something like that. And all of them are a little different.
We've got a lot more Sunbelt previews coming your way as we count down to kickoff. We'll have it all for you here on the Eagle Hour. Until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, from all of us to all of you, Southern Miss.
To the toss.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.